will appoint that can be utilized in filling vacancies in the labor court, in the labor appeal court and the labor court, instead of confining it to the high court only. Those are two options.
Will it be you, Mr. Scassano?
Yes, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you, Co Chair, and all members and colleagues. Just to elaborate on the point made by Mr. Mkhalipi, with regard to the appointment of the Lord's Board, our view obviously was that the Minister of Justice, by virtue of his or her role as the cabinet member, responsible for the Administration of Justice from the constructive perspective, assume overall responsibility in terms of their rules and processes and procedures and personal affairs in a court of law. And therefore, our view was that this would be the only instance where another minister who's not in the domain of the Administration of Justice would be required to prepare or to interact with any matter that relates to the proceedings of a court. And also, one of the strong arguments was that there's a very thin line between the rules both for court, for labor court, and the rules both for the court of law. How this act interprets? The Rules Board Act of 1984 makes rules for all courts. The Rules Board Act, the court, the Rules Board for labor court makes rules for the labor court on specific matters. And where the Rules Board for Labor Court has not made any rule, the Rules Board for Labor Court in terms of 1984 legislation has the competence to fill the gap. So there's that interface between the two Rules Board committees. The idea from the legislative rule we understand was that the Rules Board for Court of Law will only take those special issues, but most of the translation will still come from the other Rules Board that is called under the responsibility of the minister. Now, having two Rules Board putting under two ministers was going to create a kind of a disjunction in terms of the alignment of the rules. That's the basis on which we thought that keeping them under one, the Minister of Justice would then be able to monitor and oversee all the gaps that have not come out from the other special rules. That other rules was for courts, for labor courts, the specialized rules. The second point was that we all agree in agreement that the rules for dispensation generally need to be reworked. We work from a dispensation where there's an act of 1984 that gives particular rules of particular court. Then there's an act, there's a complementary act which will be amended by the particular court act bill once it's approved, which gives the rules of the constitutional court. And then there are different rules that come from all those specialist courts. Now, with regard to committee appeal court, the judge president makes the rules for the court. With regard to the land sales court, the judge president of the land sales court makes rules for the court. With regard to the labor court, the judge president of the labor court makes rules for the court. And with regard to all other courts, the minister makes rules for them. So there's a fragmentation and full arrangement. Our view has always been that the rules of course are by in their own nature a legislative instrument that may be subject to review by the very same court. Now if you put a judge president to make rules, then the parties are not think about the rules. Where else must they go? Must they cite the JP and go to another court to challenge those rules? Hence our view is that while there's a distorted and fragmented rule making situation, this current bill will be interim at such time that the whole body of rule making has been personalized to make sure that people get clear and uniform rule-making dispensation in terms of which people can intervene and can have the opportunity, like any other legislation, to challenge the rule if it does not advance any of the public interest or it's suspect as far as the Constitution is concerned. So that's the argument on the rule-making process. The second point on the appointment of labor judges as judges of the Labor Appeal Court would have been made academic by the Supreme Court bill. Because the Supreme Court bill now has removed the distinction between the labor court judges and the high court judges. If the Supreme Court did not do that, this amendment would not have been adequate. Because what we have done if they've allowed judges who are not permanent judges to go and serve in the appeal structure and diligence your students of judges who are of the labor court. Now, since the Supreme Court will amend that tenure arrangement of the labor court appeal, labor court appeal and high court judges will now become safe in terms of the office of head of claim. And therefore, there is no need in allowing judges of the labor court to work at the labor appeal court because they're coming from the same place. That's why that other amendment, in fact, we said to our colleagues, in fact, even if this amendment was not there, the Supreme Court Act will still deal with it because it removed that distinction. So, but obviously, it doesn't overemphasize, it makes no harm at the end of the day. And Chair, the last amendment, which basically deals with the rules, the board must meet every two years, whatever. We also feel that in view of the anticipation that the whole rulemaking will be overhauled within the next 2 years, it will address that issue. But obviously, technically, or from a political perspective, because the rules board is chaired by a judge president, there may not be any enforcement mechanism to solve it. It's one thing to put that it must meet at least once every 2 years. But if the judge president does not call that rules board meeting, and if the judge president tells you and says, we don't have any rules to make, because the rules board for court of law has taken care of all the debt, so we can't just meet for the purpose of meeting. What then? What is the solution? What do we do with the JP? Are we going to go to the JSC and report a complaint that the judge must be impeached because he has not performed his duty from a legal act? But we think that amendment, for the same reason that we are looking at the whole rule dispensation, is not harmful, but it is not desirable at all because it basically places a burden on a judicial functionary to perform a particular function which is not part of judicial function, which falls in the proletariat of the creative, strictly speaking. But as I said, we hope that it will not come to sit to where the judge president will be forced to call for rulemaking. One thing which I needed to bring your attention on this court is that there's an emerging practice where judges president, instead of making rules, they issue practice guidance. We substitute the rules. And then in those public directives, we they go alone in chambers, in the absence of all other people, they basically state the processes and proceedings and the court, which is not desirable because parties and every person are not having the opportunity to do so. We think that this rule dispensation has to at least ameliorate that kind of danger where the previous judge president, Zondo, he's not called the special the rules board because he feels the case could pass it that every time there was something that he do, he issued from the appeal. He's not called the rules board commission, the rules board to come and look at those issues. So these 2 years may address this kind of mischief in the interim, but in the long term, it's a matter we hope will be addressed through the other aspects that are said, which will be the rationalization of their own dispensation. Honorable Member Jeffers asked if there may be a need to link to have a cross-reference from the Labour as the amendment bill and the Supreme Court as far as the rulemaking is concerned. And that link may be terrible in the sense that one, there's only a link because other rules both make other rules where they are kept. And two, in terms of the publication, the minister must table all the rules. So if there's not, that link is not there, the rules of the labor court may end between the parties and not be basically be published to the knowledge of all the users of those rules at the end of the day. That's what we thought it could be kind of strengthened mechanism. Then I just want to give those elaborations.
And we are in agreement about the 6 month requirement that is found in clause 24.
There's no dispute.
All right. Clause 24.
But you're not only requiring that to be
We are required.
country. It's basically I would have thought it's fine for Parliament to say to a court or to set these dates for court. I don't see why it's impinging on why I mean, the whole, as I understand it, the whole matter with the Labour Court is to hear matters urgently. What this section is saying is that the matter must be heard within 6 months of delivery of the application, although the Labour Court may, on good notice, good cause, condone a late application. I don't think so. There's a problem for Parliament to say to the court, look, we want you to deal with these issues speedily. That's what they're there for. Yeah. The date to be heard.
Please put your mic on, do you?
That a person, it's the normal thing. You must lodge your application within six weeks, and then the court can condone late filing. That's the normal approach. Now this has been changed to say the court must give you a date within 6 months. Surely there's no breach of any kind.
Labour courts, labour disputes need to be dealt with urgently. What is the problem with Parliament saying to the Labour Court, you must hear this matter urgently?
Firstly, dear, it says subject to the rules of the Labour Court. Secondly, the party bringing the application must apply for a date for the matter to be heard within 6 months of delivery of the application. And thirdly, the court may, on good cause, condone a late application for a date for the matter to be heard. So you need to look at that entire picture.
And let me say just simply one thing, and I mean, I'm not going to intrude upon what is Sir Hilde Ray and my beloved colleague, Matthias Turek. But, I mean, the argument just made by the Honourable Jeffrey, you know, this is Labour, therefore, you know, it's justifiable to ask for expedition. All of this is the product of our immediate past history and where Labour issues were given a certain predominance. Let me just say to you, for the record, that I find it completely unacceptable throughout the LRA, and I know nothing about Labour law, so I speak with a little bit of force. It's completely unacceptable that NEDLAC is allowed a role in which it goes so far as the President can only appoint the JP of the Labour Board or the LAC on the advice of NEDLAC. Where did you ever hear such a thing? NEDLAC is not a constitutional structure. It's a form of corporatism. It was a certain economic approach taken at transition. And I'm just shocked to see the role NEDLAC is afforded throughout the LRA. And to me, that's of a piece of the argument that we've made. No, these are labour matters, so they require expedition. I think justice requires all expedition in all circumstances, in all courts, as much as the judiciary can possibly get it. So, just for the record,
Mr. Jeffrey. Spectrum is much. The whole purpose of specialised courts is so that they can deal with matters differently. And one of the issues with the, I mean, we had to deal with the relationship between the Competition Court and the Competition Appeal Court, or the Competition Tribunal and the Competition Appeal Court. And one of the reasons for their existence, rather than collapsing them into the SCA, was that they need to deal with competition matters expeditiously. It's the same kind of thing. But Chair, the point I wanted to make is, can we just get clarity? I mean, you said we shouldn't look at the past, and I don't want to. However, and this is aimed at officials with respect to Chairperson Chabaleng of the Department of Labour, we have two bills before Parliament. One was the Superior Court's Bill 7B of 2011, and the other then is the Labour Relations Amendment Bill 16 of 2012, which came later. And my concern is that some of the amendments in the Labour Relations Bill are already in the Superior Court's Bill. So the very same amendments,
if you look at the Superior Court's bill, those who have it,
Schedule
2, Amendment 151, which is contained in Clause 27, Amendment to Clause 170, to Section 170 of the Labour Relations Act, you've got the same amendments in two bills in Parliament. That is unacceptable. Okay. We are looking at the issue of the fact that, that only the Minister of Justice should be responsible for the courts, because the courts fall under the Chief Justice, and who is then linked to the Minister of Justice. But that would prevent this kind of thing happening. But if this had not been picked up, this would have been appalling. You would have had effectively Parliament passing, and they're the same amendments. You would have had Parliament passing the same amendment twice, which would have been unacceptable. So I think when it comes to, until such time as that amendment is passed, which would be a possible constitutional amendment, requiring the Minister of Justice to, as the Minister of Finance introduces all money bills, can the officials from the Department of Labour please check with the Department of Justice regarding any amendments to the Labour Court. So just to say that point, Chair. Then I just wanted to get clarity exactly what is being deleted from this bill. Can we just get that list of the sections?
Yeah. It's going to be my next question to either Ms. Pankalibi or Ms. Sosana, so that we have absolute clarity. You did say there are issues that have been removed. Now, Mr. Jeffrey is pertinent to saying, okay, fine, tell us which are those clauses that are being removed or have been removed. Because all we have here is the bill as tabled. It doesn't show what's being removed.
Thank you, Chief. I can just say the committee has this bit. Tentatively, what the Labour Portfolio Committee has agreed to in principle is to reject Clause 27 of the bill in the light of the duplication of the Supreme Court's bill. Clause 28 is up to be rejected, and then Clause 31 and 33 will be two clauses for discussion this morning, and then Clause 34 will be rejected. Thank you.
So let's go again.
27, 28 and 34, and 31 and 33 were the two clauses.
34 is rejected.
27?
No, 34. Yeah, 34. 27, 28, and 34. 34. Okay. You must forgive us, Justice. We don't take things on face value. We like to read just what it is and satisfy ourselves that we're doing the right thing. Well,
look, I think that 33 is fine. I mean, it's basically then 30, 31, and 33 that we're looking at. I think 33 is fine.
No, it's 34 that's been removed.
No, 34 has been removed.
Yes. Right.
33, the as that is the one remaining clause in the bill, the Labour Relations Bill,
yes.
And that amendment, as far as I understand from the two departments, they're happy with it. It would be the inclusion of the word Labour Court, judges of the Labour Court, and Mr.
Yes.
Forsyth has explained. So I think that amendment to 33 is okay.
Mm-hmm.
On the issue of 31, my understanding is that A is being removed. A, yeah, A. Am I correct? Okay, that is the reference to changing the minister to the Minister of Labour, Minister of Justice to Minister of Labour. The second one was I hear what Mr. Skorsana says, and I mean, if you look for the members of the Labour Committee, the Superior Court bill, there is a Chapter 7, which is Rules of Court, and deals first, well, the first section deals with rules of the Constitutional Court. The second section deals with rules of the Supreme Court of Appeal and the High Court. And that's the end of the chapter. But there's no reference to any other courts. So although the Labour Court and the Labour Appeal Court are superior courts, they are not covered by those two sections, and there's no reference. I'm pleased that there would be some kind of sorting out the problem in the long term, and obviously we can't do that now. But the one thing that just strikes me as curious with the amendment that Labour wants, which is that the judge president, presumably of the Labour Court, which is the Labour Appeal Court, Labour Court, which takes?
This one JP of both,
okay. Must ensure that the rules board must meet at least once every 2 years. What strikes me as odd is that the rules board is appointed for 3 years. Then you say that actually they must meet at least once every 2 years. In other words, that they must meet once effectively during their 10 years. It's a bit odd. I mean, it's very well. Presumably, if they're appointed, they're going to meet. And I know that's the minimum, but in technically with this minimum, they can meet once in their tenure. And I also sort of question the need for B. This directive on the JP of the Labour Court to get them to meet at least once a year. I mean, if they're not going to meet at all, then why appoint them? Because the thing is, often when you say a minimum, people want to stick to that minimum. So that's you're almost encouraging. You're then saying, okay, it's fine. You just got to meet once. You're appointed for 3 years, but in those 3 years, you must just meet once. So I fully accept Mr. Scorsano's point that there's going to be further work done on the whole issue of rules and the specialist courts, and this is an interim measure. But do we need this section? So Chairperson Ntshavheleng, it's your domain. It's not really for us to. It's less for us, as I think, justice. But why do they want this? Is a rules board for the Labour Court seriously going to be appointed if not going to meet? And then now with the Chief Justice, with a constitutional amendment that we passed last year, the Parliament passed last year, the Chief Justice is the head of the judiciary. The Judge President of the Labour Courts, falls under the Chief Justice administratively. This is an administrative function. It would be for, if there's a problem if it's not happening, it would be for the Chief Justice to say to the JP of the Labour Court, you must convene the meeting of your rules board. So I'm just questioning its necessity. I'm not quite sure where it came from. Presumably it came from the fact that they weren't meeting. I'm just worried. And as I said, I would read a minimum often as being just all you've got to do.
Well, given that all they do is review the rules, how often should they meet?
Not but leave this up to the Chief Justice effectively. Because that's effectively the only change to say to Labour is now before your JP might have been or the JP might have been more independent. Now it's clearly defined in the Constitution the Chief Justice is head of the judiciary. So he is the head of the Judge President of the Labour Court administratively.
Apologies for being a bit late. Obviously, we're dealing with a lot of issues here that have been dealt with at length by the Labour Portfolio Committee. I was just wondering if there were submissions on these particular issues from interested parties one understands the NEDLAC process and there's where the consensus was achieved at NEDLAC. And secondly, in the consultation process on these particular sections that we're dealing with, were there major objections? And I've got to be careful of opening the whole matter, but for us to evaluate these sections correctly, we would normally consider submissions that are received. But I understand this has come a long process as well, and parties would have taken positions on this issue. So maybe merits of that. And then just on the issue of clause 24, where we quickly looked at section 145, and it's not the judgment that must be brought within 6 months, it's the application. But it's also, I see that there is a clause there that requires the court to give a judgment within as soon as reasonably possible. Now that, I understand the sentiment behind that. It's probably never been in legislation before, but there is maybe a need for it. I'm not saying it's not required, but I don't think it's necessary there. Because it's on the next page, clause 30, sub 5. You don't need it because it's already covered where he says, sub 5, a judgment of the Labour Court must be handed down as soon as reasonably possible.
Sorry, where are you now?
Clause 30.
30?
Yeah, E.
D, oh, not 5.
Which is an amendment to sub 5.
As soon as reasonably. So you've repeated it there.
I don't know if it's necessary to repeat it because that should be the overarching clause if one then wants to legislate that. And then maybe it's a good idea.
So the judgment is dealt with now in the new code of conduct that we're busy with and is almost finalized. So I don't think it's necessary to deal with that in the additional legislation because it will be covered in it.
All right, Mr. Jeffrey.
Different view. I mean, legislation is stricter than the code of conduct. Yes, but the code of conduct is basically a guide and it's a sort of preference thing. And I do think there's urgency with labour matters, as there is with competition tribunal and competition appeal matters.
But
we didn't deal with the Competition Act. Okay.
Is it necessary to repeat it?
No. Just I want to get on to the repeating. Now, my understanding is I don't have the original the principle. I don't have the Labour Relations Act in front of me, but as far as I understand, 145 deals with reviewing arbitration awards.
Okay.
And 158 presumably deals with general judgments. So I think that the issue would be, although a review of an arbitration award would be a judgment, it may be different sections. And it may be necessary to have it in both places for that. And then just to stress that 145 is saying the matter must be heard within 6 months. I think that's the contentious issue. I don't have a problem with, because of the urgency, saying that. Because they must apply for a date. Okay, it doesn't actually say that the matter must be heard. They must apply for a date within 6 months. So if there isn't a date within 6 months, and presumably you don't want a situation where one of the parties to delay,
yes.
Then says no, we're only going to our counsel is not available.
We're not ready. Yes.
We're not ready. We'll apply for a date in 10 months. So it doesn't say it has to be. So just to stress what this is about, it's not saying it must be heard within 6 months. They must apply for it to be heard. And I think that restriction is set within 6 months. Yes, but you've got another period within which you've got to apply, which can be condoned. But you've got to apply for a date within six months.
First, Mr. Swart, and then Mr. Schaefer.
6 states a judgment must be handed down as reasonably possible. But it's a judgment. It's a judgment. Sub 5 is a judgment. It's exactly the same. It's unnecessary. But if you want to adopt the belts and braces approach, if you want to emphasize the matter, then you can leave it in. But in my view, it's very clear. A judgment covers all applications, covers motions, covers whatever it is. Trials, and sub 5 on the next page follows a judgment. It's not a judgment excluding those type of applications. They are covered. So, but if one wants to just emphasize the matter that it's unnecessary totally, but if you want to adopt the belts and braces approach, then you can put it in both sections.
I think it underlines the point Mr. Jeffrey made earlier that all labor court matters must be dealt with expeditiously. Now, I know that you as lawyers say, well, that happens anyway. Well,
I just think that 24/5 is a little bit, what's the word? It's not entirely clear, because I read it to mean must apply for a date for the matter to be heard. It doesn't mean, I'm not sure whether it must apply is for the date for the matter to be heard, or whether it must, whether it's saying that the matter must be heard within 6 months.
To be heard within 6 months.
Well, that's how it can be interpreted.
Yeah,
I mean,
of
I
delivery
think,
of the application. It's not within 6 months of the ruling on, of the arbitration award.
If I can continue.
Yeah.
I think it is not clear, and I think we need to ensure that we know what we mean here, because, I mean, I read it, it sounded to me like we have to apply that the matter be heard within 6 months.
The with 24/5, I think it's the difficulty is we don't have from the Justice Committee, we don't have the whole LRA. Okay, Dean does. Okay, all right. But it is. I think clear. It is they must apply for a date for the matter to be heard within 6 months. Okay, they must apply for the matter to be heard within 6 months. It must apply for a date for the matter to be heard within 6 months of delivery of the application. That's what it says. That's what we're all agreeing to.
Can I tell you what the original said? It was in 6 weeks of the date, 6 weeks of the date that the award was served on the applicant, unless blah, 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 which is a different matter altogether. And then the Labour Court may, on good cause shown, condone a late filing. So that...
Yes, but this is not a period within which you have to... I don't know what's happening for that 6 weeks. And it's still there, okay? So this is an addition, and I don't see any problem with the addition, particularly if parties are trying to delay matters by asking for a hearing over a longer period. But, Chair, I think this is a matter for the Labour Committee. Okay? We're not that au fait with how the Labour Court is working. I don't think that I don't find that the parliamentary legal team's concern correct, that it's undue interference in the constitutionally mandated functions of the judiciary. Because I think Parliament is entitled to say these urgent matters must be heard within a particular time. Judgments must be made within a reasonable time. I think that's within our powers as Parliament. We're not interfering with the and I think the same is there with the competition appeal, if I'm correct. This is not our bill, this is their bill. Okay. And so I don't have a problem with that. And I think that gets left up to Labour. I think the issue, Mr. Swart's issue around whether 145.6 is necessary in the light of the fact that it is a judgment, which is the same as in 158.5, I think, again, that's for the Labour Committee to look at. My concern with not having the principal act that it may be necessary, but maybe that's something that I think the Labour Committee can look at, whether that clause is necessary twice, because it is a duplication. But it's not hurting anything. And then I think with the other clause, I think we're generally, I think there's a Justice Committee in agreement that we delete the whole of clause 31.
My point is not whether we agree to the 6 months or not, but my point is that the wording of the clause is open to interpretation, and the very fact that we have different understandings on the committee shows that that is in fact so.
What are the two interpretations?
Whether you have to do an application within 6 months or whether you have to give the date within 6 months.
If you have the application within 6 months, you can apply for the matter to be heard within 6 months.
Yes, does that mean you must apply for the matter to be, but then you have a hearing date within 6 months? Is that what it means? Well, that's easy.
Applying for a date for the matter to be heard within 6 months of the delivery of application. So you're looking for a date for the matter to be heard within 6 months of the date of application. I think it's clear.
Mr. Fulvestre.
Yes, Chairperson, may I just refer the members to the last words of that paragraph, subparagraph 5. It condemnation is to bring a late application. Therefore, my understanding is, if the condemnation deals with the late application, then the earlier part of that sentence refers also to the date of application. So I don't think it is that unclear if you just read the full sentence until the very last. So it's the application, it's the party that is bound by this.
Thank you. Memorandum at the back, which explains clause 24. And the whole purpose of clause 24, and that's on page 30, is to prevent delay by the applicants.
Right.
If you look at clause 24, paragraph 2, that says to prevent delay by applicants, the amended provisions require that an applicant must apply for a date for the hearing of a review application within 6 months of commencing proceedings. So you file your application, and then you must apply for a date within 6 months so that you don't delay it. Otherwise, you don't apply for a date, and that's the delay.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be heard within 6 months. You must apply for a date. If you don't apply for a date within 6 months, then you must apply for condemnation for not applying for a date.
Okay.
It's straightforward.
Which means I don't understand why we've been wasting all this time arguing.
The Labour Committee wants to clean up the clause to make sure that it is consonant with what has been.
Mr. Jeffrey
made a suggestion that maybe it could be worded, must apply must apply within 6 months of delivery of the application for a date for that to be heard.
Alright, we leave it to you on Mr. Jabaling. Alright. Yes. We love this sort of thing, all right. We are close to 10 o'clock. I think we've covered all the relevant issues, Mr. Jungle. Unless honorable members of both committees, there's any other matters that you feel we should still deal with? No. All right, then. M514, your Labour Portfolio Committee will meet there. Be very, very wary of the lifts. Take the stairs. Good exercise. No, don't take that one either. One crash last week. Joint meeting, we're now adjourned.
Yeah. take the general phraseology and then I beg your pardon, you know, that was what it was.
Thank you. Christ. You need to give me the receipt first before the presentation. Give me the research papers before the presentation, so I can prepare. Yeah? I'm doing anything. Is it fine with you?
I think so.